You're listening to Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
And a very pleasant good Saturday morning to you. Welcome into week two of the high school football season's KLEM Coach's Corner. It's right here on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM Lamar's. This program is brought to you by Nohava Construction, Chapman Overhead Door, Plymouth Awards and Engraving, Sitzman Construction, Ameriprise Financial, Get Branded 360, True Health Chiropractic, and Floyd Valley Healthcare. Daniel Versteg with you. We've got three area coaches joining us. Ken Vigdahl will join us after our first commercial break. Jeremy Schindler will follow him. And then we'll be joined by the new head coach of Akron Westfield football, who just picked up his first win last night. That's John Sievert. We'll talk all about the win over over Sibley Ocheyedan last night. Still thinking of Virgiview, but victory over Sibley Ocheyedan in district play yesterday for Akron Westfield. Let's take a look at some of those scores from yesterday around Plymouth County. We'll start there. In Class 8 player District 1, it was the number one team in the state, Remsen St. Mary's, shutting out Siouxland Christian big time, 48-0, and the Hawks start off district play unbeaten. In Class A District 1, we had this game on KLEM Radio, and you can watch it archived on the KLEM Radio YouTube channel if you would like. MMCRU defeated Galen Catholic 34-27. How about that win for Coach Oswald and the Royals? Starting off district play 1-0. We'll be talking with Galen Catholic Coach Jeremy Schindler coming up on this program. And we mentioned Akron Westfield picked up a win, and it was a dominant one, 45-18 over Sibley Ocheyedan last night. In Class A District 8, ninth-ranked Logan Magnolia, they used a big second half to defeat Kingsley Pearson River Valley 42-12. The KPRV Panthers were down 21-12 at half, and then the Logan Magnolia Panthers scored 21 unanswered in the second half. In Class 1A District 1, a non-district ball game saw 10th-ranked Western Christian dominate Hinton 33-0. Blackhawks just really couldn't move the ball last night. And in Class 4A District 1, another non-district game here, Lamar's Community starts off 2-0 with a 38-14 victory over Sioux City North. So we've got a win to talk about with Coach Vigdahl. We've got Jeremy Schindler coming up in just a little bit. And then, of course, again, John Sievert, head coach of Akron Westfield football, will join us. So let's not waste any more time. When we come back, Ken Vigdahl, head coach of Lamar's Community football, will join us to talk about the victory and all that kind of fun stuff as well. You're listening to the KLEM Coach's Corner. It's right here on KLEM Radio.
Specializing in EPS buildings and homes, new construction, and remodeling, Sitzman Construction has been doing business in the Lamar's area for 15 years. They're your area expert in EPS solid core shops and homes. Jeremy and his crew would love to come out and give you a quote on your post-frame agricultural building, new home construction, or even your home remodeling project. At Sitzman Construction, quality and customer satisfaction are the focus on the job. Call Jeremy today at 546-4263 and start building with the best. Because at Sitzman Construction, they satisfy your construction needs.
Ask Ameriprise Financial Advisor Michael K. Rulin about the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. It's a personalized, flexible, step-by-step approach toward financial balance. Call Michael K. Rulin, Financial Advisor, Certified Financial Planner Practitioner, Ross Rulin, Associate Financial Advisor, or Sam Van Wettering, Associate Financial Advisor at 546-9525. Office is located at 129 Central Avenue, Southwest Lamar's, Iowa. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
And we welcome you back to the KLEM Coach's Corner, brought to you by Nohava Construction, Chapman Overhead Door, Plymouth Awards and Engraving, Sitzman Construction, Ameriprise Financial, Get Branded 360, True Health Chiropractic, and Floyd Valley Healthcare. Joining us first on the Coach's Corner here this morning, the head coach of Lamar's Community Football, Coach Ken Vigdahl. 38-14 winners over Sioux City North yesterday in the home opener. Able to play on Jim Lorenzen Field. That had to be exciting, of course, to get home win number one out of the way, Coach. Yeah, just, I guess, first of all, start there. You know, it's always fun to play that that home opener, and it's even better to give the home fans a victory last night.
Exactly. It's, you know, it's always great to play on our field, and it's an awesome stadium and complex, so it's just great to be there.
So you got going early with a Jude Doherty score in the first quarter, but I think the real guy that we need to highlight for you, Bo Wadley, 4 touchdowns for you yesterday. I mean, it seemed like whenever he got the football, he was moving downfield, and if you got in his way, good luck, it seemed like.
Yeah, he'd run you over, so it doesn't matter if you're standing there or not. He's not going to run around you. He's going to run over you. But Bo had a great game last night. He had a couple of great catches, and then he turned one of our simple just key routes, bubble screen to the outside, right before the half into a touchdown that made it 21-7, which really kind of set the tone for the rest of the game, because we came out and scored another 2 in the third, and then you could just kind of feel, you know, now it's 35-7, and we're just like playing back and forth and try to finish the game and stuff. So, but no, he had a huge night. Every time he touched the ball, he was close to the end zone, if not in the end zone.
I was going to say, after, you know, North scored on that little bootleg pass in the second quarter, you know, it was tied, obviously. But, then you kind of went on a run that was very similar to what you went on with Sergeant Bluff Luton, where you just kind of kept scoring and never let them back in it. Just what was the key? What did you do right offensively to keep the points coming and defensively to hold them off?
Well, they, you know, the big thing about it was, you know, and I told our kids, this is what people are going to try to do to us now. I mean, they haven't shown a forefront all year last year and earlier this year, and then all of a sudden they come to play us and they're in a three front, which is exactly what happened last week. So our offensive line were able to pick it up, but they blitzed a lot more off the edges and stuff like that than SBL did. And so, you know, it took us another quarter to kind of get going there, and, you know, but we kind of stay with formations that may hurt that. And, you know, we noticed that they were moving their linebacker over number 2 way inside. And so, like, the one that Bo caught and ran for a touchdown right before half, we got him on a simple bubble to the outside. We got a great block by Andrew. And, you know, he's fast enough to get down the edge. And, you know, he was able to score. And, like I said, that was a really momentum changer, because we could have went in halftime at 1 touchdown ahead, but we go in at 2. It kind of lifts our spirits and confidence, but it also kind of deflates the other team. And then I think really in the second half, you know, after halftime, after Coach Deercup adjusted the defensive back alignments, you know, it really took the passing game away from them. And then, you know, our up front guys, our front 6 on defense, we've talked about them, you know, every week. You know, they really were able to run down that running back. And, you know, his big deal is he's going to get going one way and then put his foot in the ground, and then, boy, he can cut. And, you know, but when you have a swarm of people coming to the ball carrier, it's one of those things. And, like, last night he found out pretty early on that, you know, he's going to press the edge, put his foot in the ground and cut back, and there's guys like Evan Jalis waiting there for him. And so, you know, I thought our linebackers did a great job of pursuing, not over-pursuing. Our secondary did a great job of breaking down and making him make a cut, because, you know, I don't know how big he is, 5'6" or 5'7" and 157 pounds. You know, he's not going to run over you, but he has definitely the ability to really run by you, cut past you, whatever you want to say, make you overcommit, use the cutback lane. And then, you know, I think one of the hidden factors of last night was Giovanni in the kickoffs. He put them all in the end zone but one, and even the one that he didn't put in, I think we tackled on the 15 or the 18. And then Tyson Augustine, he had a big night of punting, and, you know, when you look at it, you go, well, his punts weren't really that good. But at the end, he kept it away from him. He kept it to the sideline. He let it roll and allowed our coverage to get down there and stuff. And, you know, I talked to him on Thursday, like, man, we can't punt this high and let him get under it, because he's probably more dangerous than the return game, DeMarco Young was, than what he was, you know, where you know he's going to get the ball. You know he's going to get the ball, but you got 11 guys running down the field. And I was just worried about our special teams, but, boy, both our kickoff and our punt did an excellent job last night.
Yeah, we'll definitely talk about that here throughout the show. Ken Vigdahl with us, head coach of Lamar's Community Football. Because, Coach, yeah, I've seen DeMarco a number of times over the last few years, and it's very rare to have a defense hold him in check, and you did that. And you talk about, obviously, it takes multiple guys to get to the football and bring him down. I've seen him squirt out of some of those piles, though, too. So what was the key once you swarmed to him, once you got him to actually finishing the tackle, finishing the play, and shutting him down?
I think it was just our tackling. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We did a nice job of pursuing. The guy you worry about is the guy he's running right at you. And so he's got a two-way go, inside, outside. And, you know, like you said, he can cut on a dime and squirt out of anything. And, it doesn't matter. But last night I thought the backside pursuit didn't over-pursue so he could have that cutback lane. I thought they tempoed it exactly right. Our guys facing him, our corners and our outside linebackers, made him take one more step than he wanted. So, you know, he wanted to cut out. He had to cut in and out, you know what I mean, instead of just having that one cut, put your foot in the ground and go. We kind of played him so he was going to have to make two or three cuts. And when you start making two or three cuts in there, you know, you're really not getting downfield. Mm-hmm. And so that allowed our pursuit to get there at the right angle. Like I said, our two middle linebackers played a heck of a game, because they ran him down from behind and was able to fit in that gap that needed to be fit into. So I think that was the big thing. We didn't try to overcommit to tackling him, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because like the outside linebackers and secondary, if you overcommit to try to tackle him, lots of times your head goes down, you miss the tackle, and away he goes. And they kept their head up, they buzzed their feet, they made him buzz his feet, and then that allows the tacklers to get there.
Coach, you mentioned, for their defense, they came at you with a three front to start the night, and maybe that, you know, slowed you down a little bit in the first half while you were trying to figure things out. What kind of things, once you had it all, you know, figured out, game planned against, adjustments were made, what kind of things worked? Was it your ground game, your passing game? What did the line need to do to make sure they were able to hold off a defense that was blitzing you and trying to be athletic with you?
You know, I think really the biggest thing is we always go back to our 2x2 set. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We went back to that in the third quarter right away. We started throwing the key routes that we didn't throw a whole lot of in the beginning of the game. And it was able to get, you know, we were able to get the bubble with number two. We were able to get the screen with number one outside receiver. So that really worked. And so we kept stretching them wider. And then as we did that, all of a sudden, guess what happens? The inside zone becomes a lot bigger because linebackers are used to running out. And so we did that. We didn't run a lot of trips at the beginning of the game. We were able to run trips and then run our counter with our quarterback out of that. And so we just did a lot of different things. You know, people saw the black reverse with Bo last night again. That scored. He put his foot in the ground and really made a heck of a cut and ran 20-25 yards for a touchdown. And then, you know, you always have those two-point plays. You always have those plays that you pull out. And then, you know, I think one of the first touchdowns we had was we kind of get in a bunch set on the end of the line, and then Bo kind of gets in and he pivots out and runs arrow route to the out. And usually what ends up getting, as soon as defensive backs see him blocked down, they lose eye contact with him. And so they go with the other receivers, and then he usually comes out on the arrow route by himself. And, you know, Teagan was getting a little pressure, but he was able to step back and make a nice throw. So we just kept really mixing it up a little bit. You know, we kind of got stale in the fourth quarter there. You're up 35-7. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it just seems like, you know, we moved the ball really well in the third quarter. And in the fourth quarter, you know, I think everybody realizes, well, the game's kind of over, but we just got to finish the time on the clock.
Yep.
And, you know, it wasn't pretty at times. We did some good things. But, you know, we could have probably put one more in. We ended up, I don't even know what it was, on the 7 or 8, and we took a knee. So, you know, it's one of those things. But, you know, overall, I thought we had a heck of a game. both offense and defensively. And I mean, it was a complete game for all of our teams, because each one of them did what they needed to do to win the game.
Coach, I know you've reset the standard of the program when you're talking about how you could have gotten one more score in a 24-point ball game. I love hearing that, and just a great win. Like you said, it was every aspect. We've talked about offense, defense, but you mentioned this earlier, and we talked about Giovanni being a field goal kicker last week. Obviously, his 240-plus yarders were big-time headlines, but yeah, he can boot that thing through the end zone. And then you mentioned Tyson Augustine having a great night punting. Just I'm a geek for special teams. Just that the field position battle is one of the most unsung battles in the game of football. And when you can force an offense to have to go 80 yards pretty much as an automatic, just what does that do for, you know, the rest of the units on the field when you're dominating the field position battle?
Well, I think as a play caller on both sides of the ball, you have to do different things. When you're backed up against your end zone, it's not like your playbook's wide open. It's your playbook is trying to get a first down. So if you don't go and if you don't get another first down, you punt and you have a little bit of room. You know, if it's on the 20 and we're going in, we were fortunate last night to, get a fumble and punch that in and score. So your playbook's pretty open when you start on the, 15 or 18, right, wherever we started from on the first drive. And then, you know, obviously they snapped the ball over the punter's head, and that was, you know, that gave us a short field too and stuff. So, you know, it's a lot more open than obviously if our we're backed up, you know, in our end zone. You're just trying to get yardage so your punter can, you know what I mean, do what he needs to do and stuff. So, and, you know, common sense is, you know, if you start on your own 10, you got 90 yards. If you start on their 10, you got 10 yards. You know what I mean? Chances of you scoring are obviously greater percentages. Math guys know that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not very good at math, but I know 10 is less than 90, and puts you in a better scenario. So a great win, 38-14. You got a lot of guys, some good minutes, and now you turn the attention to Boyden Hall Rock Valley coming up this week, Coach. You obviously know the history of that program's very good. They picked up a win last night. What are some things you still got to clean up? Because I know, obviously, up 38-14, that's, you know, a good win. But, you know, you're not satisfied, and you're never satisfied as a head coach.
Yeah, and, you know, it's we'll watch the film and you know, we'll grade our kids out and stuff, and we'll meet with our quarterbacks and our offensive line and stuff. But, you know, just watching the film this morning already, you know, we still have some things where guys are going the wrong way on our inside zone. They take the wrong step. Our gap schemes, you know, our kick, our wall building, our blocking down, kicking out. We got to clean up a little bit more. We had too much leakage last night, but, you know, it's different when they're standing right in front of you in a four front than when they're blitzing from a side. So, you know, those are all things that we're going to have to encounter. And I'm sure, you know, I don't know what, you know, Boyden Hall Rock Valley got a new coach a year or two ago. So, you know, I don't know if their schemes have stayed the same or haven't stayed the same. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, they've been traditionally a really solid football team. They've been in the dome a couple of times, you know. And so it's one of those things that, you know, we got to be ready to play again next week. Because I will tell you, North was extremely impressive last night. Mm-hmm. I thought big kids, fast kids, you know, it wasn't one of those things that, you know, we go in and we roll them over. Or, you know, they battled, they fought, they had they're a very talented football team. And for us to get the margin of victory that we got last night, I thought was huge.
Yeah, very impressive. Yeah, Coach Moore has done a great job with that program over there. That's a much improved team. And like you said, yeah, beating them by 24 just shows, you know, the level of team you've got. And the outstanding performance you guys put on. So another great win for you guys. We'll see you guys in Hull coming up next week, and best of luck to you guys as you get ready for the Nighthawks.
Thanks a lot, Daniel.
Absolutely. And that is Ken Vigdahl. He's the head coach of Lamar's Community Football. When we come back, we'll head to Galen Catholic. Jeremy Schindler joins us after this break on the KLEM Coaches Corner here on KLEM Radio.
Get your gear for next week's games at Get Branded 360 Downtown Lamar's. Hi, this is Lori. We have a great selection of Bulldog and Jay's gear that will fit everyone, baby through adult 3X sizes. We have things like onesies, short sleeve and long sleeve t-shirts, sweatshirts, shorts, stocking caps, baseball caps. Stop in and check out our new styles and grab a stadium chair and a water bottle branded with your favorite team. Watch the games in comfort and style. Get Branded 360 Downtown Lamar's.
When you want to show appreciation for someone's generosity, kindness, or achievement, Dryco Products Incorporated can assist you with a wide selection of high-quality recognition products. Go to www.drycoproducts.com to see examples of the complete line of displays, building directories, employee tenure, wall of fame, memorials, sales performance, education, medical, faith, military, and much more. Dryco Products is your source for personalized gifts, such as Bible covers, wine glasses, picture frames. Almost anything is possible to personalize. Contact Dryco Products for more ideas. Dryco Products online, www.drycoproducts.com.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
And we welcome you back to week two edition of the KLEM Coach's Corner here on KLEM Radio. It's brought to you by Nohava Construction, Chapman Overhead Door, Plymouth Awards and Engraving, Sitzman Construction, Ameriprise Financial, Get Branded 360, True Health Chiropractic, and Floyd Valley Healthcare. Daniel Versteg with you, now joined by the head coach of Galen Catholic Football. It's Coach Jeremy Schindler. The Jays suffer a tough district opening loss to MMCRU by the final score of 34-27. And let's start, first of all, with the back-and-forth affair you guys had in the first half. Every drive in the first quarter ended in touchdowns, and all but one of your drives each in the second quarter ended in touchdowns. Just it felt kind of like one of those heavyweight kind of fights. It almost felt like we were going to be in for a shootout there in the first half.
Yeah, you know, we came out and we were able to move the ball really effectively on the ground, especially those first couple drives. I know I thought our line play was pretty good there. We got off the ball. We moved people. We got on the linebackers off of our double teams. And then, you know, our backs, Cole and Kale, ran with some conviction and really played hard. So, offensively there, that was a really good start to the game. Obviously, defensively, you'd like to get a few stops there. But we just had too many guys out of position. Too many guys not doing their job, and the tackling was poor. So that was not a great start defensively, but a good start offensively.
Yeah, you mentioned line play was great, and it seemed like Kale especially, because he touched the ball a little bit more in the first half for you, but it seemed like when he got that ball, he did what you've been talking about for years. You just plant your feet in the ground, don't dance around, and get vertical. It seemed like he was doing that pretty well last night.
Yeah, the more and more reps he's gotten, and he just continues to get more and more comfortable behind his linemen. And last week in the first half, he was a little bit too close to his linemen. He wasn't allowing the blockers to allow the linemen to work and set up his blockers. You know, whereas in the second half, he started to get a little better at it last week. This week, you know, you saw it all weekend practice. Yep. He's just more patient. And then once he sees the hole, you know, he's from 0 to 60 in about, you know, a second and a half. So got great acceleration, and he hits the hole hard, and he finishes runs.
Yeah, absolutely. And he did that to the tune of about 150 yards on his own in the first half, and had a couple of scores. And it was looking good, but you talk about defensively. Yeah, they were kind of in the same boat as you were. I mean, both offenses were looking great in the first half. Both defenses just couldn't stop anything. I mean, what were they doing first half that really gave you guys some fits on the defensive end?
Well, you know, I think the run defense was pretty decent the whole game. We weren't allowing big gashing runs.
Right.
I would say the one area where they hurt us in the ground game was when the quarterback scrambled, and that was just poor tackling on our part. I mean, that kid's a good football player, but we made him look like Patrick Mahomes for a few plays. I mean, we're reaching, trying to tackle, trying to grab him and throw him down instead of putting your pads on him and running through him. And so, you know, that's just something we got to get better at. In terms of pass defense, it, you know, our secondary and our linebackers had a really tough night. We didn't do our job, and that was the disappointing part. We need to go back as a coaching staff and make sure everybody understands what their job is in specific coverages, because obviously they didn't understand what they were supposed to do. We had guys running across like they were in man coverage and vacating wide open zones. And so, you know, when you got a kid who can scramble a little bit, all of a sudden that wide open zone, whereas if it's a true pocket passer and he can't move, he might not see that open zone. Well, he saw him last night, you know. And then just tackling. I mean, tackling in the open space was – we got to be more aggressive. Our secondary has to come up, and when they throw those bubble screens, you know, the best way to stop a bubble screen is to go smash in the mouth right away. Mm-hmm. And we didn't do that at all last night. We were passive. We sat back. And we got to find guys who want to go out there and hit people on defense. And so that we're going to take a good hard look in the mirror this week.
Well, and if I can, maybe – I don't know if you want to hear it, but maybe give you guys an excuse. I thought there, whenever they did throw that screen, man, they get a shield block and a half, it felt like, on that outside. It seemed like that initial corner for you, whoever it was, whichever side of the field, was always shielded on a block initially. But, I mean, I guess then, yeah, it's on a safety or an outside linebacker to recognize that and read that, I need to get to that outside now because, you know, my corner's been blocked.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the thing is, if the wideout comes down and blocks the outside linebacker, the corner has to fly up, and you can't be sitting back at 5 yards.
Right.
Because if you let that guy get ahead of steam, now he's all of a sudden got momentum and he can make a move on you. You know, if they block straight up and just try and beat us to the edge, they block the corner. Well, then it's the outside linebacker's job. Hey, man, I gotta fly to that ball. And I just felt like we were passive and we were waiting all night long on that screen game, and it hurt us in several key spots.
Jeremy Schindler with us, head coach of Galen Catholic football, lost to MMCRU last night by the score of 34-27. You know, and then you turn things to the second half, and things really kind of slowed down for you on the ground, just offensively in general. What kind of things did you notice? Whether it was different from you guys, different from them, that, you know, really kind of changed the complexion of how your offense was moving the football?
Well, they just started sending people, you know, I mean, they just sent the house. And, you know, you're getting a 7-8-man blitz every single time. And it was really hard for our counter play to work like it did in the first half. Just it was so long. It's such a long developing run play. So after a few calls of that, you got to take that out, and you have to try and go to something else. The one area where I thought we could have taken advantage of it, it seemed like their outside linebacker or defensive end was constantly chasing us down on our inside zone from the backside, which in the inside zone, you don't block the backside defensive end. Mm-hmm. The bootleg's supposed to hold him. And so we thought, well, man, if their defensive end made two straight tackles in a row chasing it down from behind, so we tried a bootleg. And he's able to – we didn't sit on the bootleg long enough, and he's able to, you know, force a bad throw from Cole or you know, take Cole down for a loss. So we just got to make sure that we hurried a little bit too much in the fake there. We were like, all right, we got to get out to the bootleg, when if you sit on it for a half second longer, you might suck that defensive end in another step or two, and then you're able to explode out and get the corner on him.
Yeah, and – obviously, that was one way you tried to throw a wrinkle when it came to then trying to throw the football a little bit. But even, you know, in your straight drop backs, in any pass, really, just unable to get that passing game going. It didn't seem like, the majority of the time anyway, it didn't seem like Cole was making bad throws. Obviously, when he was hurried, like you talk about, that's another story. But just kind of what did you see when it came to throwing the football last night, no yards that I got, is kind of telling, I guess.
Yeah, you know, the interception, I actually don't really think that was his fault. He had about three guys in his face, and he's trying to make a throw out there, and it's really hard to make a throw when you have three guys in your face.
Right.
Part of the problem was up front, and I think our offensive line, it's getting towards the end of the game. They're getting tired. If it's a play action, we're a hard play action run team. You got to sell the run, yeah. And there was absolutely no run steps. You know, they allow you to go 2 to 3 yards downfield run blocking, and we tell our guys, you know, you got to take 3 or 4 hard run steps and really move that defensive line back, and you just see it on film. We're just catching, and it's like, wow, you've been coming out low and hard all game, and now all of a sudden you're almost in a pass that we're in a back pedal. So they knew it was pass right from the start. So we have to make sure that we get that better. You look at teams in the NFL like the Rams who do it. Their play action game in the line of scrimmage looks exactly like their run game, and that's why it's so successful, because linebackers and DBs can't get a read off your linemen. You have no idea what it is, and pretty soon you're behind the eight ball, and the receivers have leaked out into open areas. And then I think, you know, there's a couple times Cole makes a good throw, and we just don't come up with the ball. We got to have that ball. You know, we're not going to throw it 15, 20 times a game.
Right.
So when our receivers do get a chance to make a play, we gotta convert.
You know, Coach, the other thing, too, is you mentioned how they pretty much walked their safeties right into the box. They stacked it. They did a lot of things to stop your running game. Did that also then just kind of, you know, make it so that Coles always had pressure now at that point when it came to dropping back to pass? Because you mentioned that on a couple of throws.
Yeah, and some of that goes back to, like I was talking about, that the linemen really sell and run.
Right.
And when you sell run, what it makes a linebacker do if he's blitzing is it makes him slow down as he comes through the hole, because he doesn't want to run right past the back.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now that they get a read, oh, it's pass, that linebacker is able to continue on through and just go full speed, you know, at our quarterback. And so and there's a couple things Cole needs to do differently. In terms of when we were running our sprint out game, I think a couple times he threw the ball. You know, I always tell him, you want to throw it early, but there was a couple times I think he threw it just a smidge too early. Like, we want to let the play develop a little bit, let our receivers get into their routes. And, you know, part of that could have been because he had seen pressure in his face, mm-hmm. and he was trying to get rid of the ball as quickly as possible. So, again, those are just things that we have to learn from and get better at.
Jeremy Schindler, head coach, Galen Catholic Football, joining us. You know, defensively in the second half, you guys allowed that touchdown right away to them. But after that, I thought you guys settled in pretty well. And then outside of, outside of the two turnovers, they didn't score, offensively on their own. What adjustments did you make defensively to be able to at least hold your own and keep you in it there in the second half?
Well, we just simplified things. And I think part of it was they didn't quite throw it as much as they had in the first half once they got a couple touchdown leads. So, and like I said, I think our run defense was pretty fair all night. So, you know, it kind of goes back to last week, the Hinton game. You know, it looked like we had a really good defensive game, and we played fine,
mm-hmm.
but Hinton didn't really test us or challenge us in any way. You know, it was 3 yards in a cloud of dust. It was run, 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 especially once they got that 10-point lead.
Right.
They knew they just tried to take the air out of the game. They knew their quarterback didn't really have it. Well, this kid, you know, the Peterson kid for MMCRU, he can sling it a little bit. So that really tested us. And we knew we were going to have to do some things differently. And Coach Allen's zone, we have several different zone coverages. And we just weren't – no one was really understanding their job. And that's – as coaches, we have to make sure that they understand the game plan. And so we're going to have to go back and work on that. But in the second half, we just really simplified things. Went to our base coverage and just tried to play good fundamental football. And again, I think the run defense held up pretty decently. But again, you saw it at the end there. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a second and 4 or 5 when we're trying to stop them and get the ball back, and after the onside kick, and they throw a bubble screen and get, you know, they throw an outside screen and get 12 yards and a first down. So definitely got to tackle better.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, a tough loss here. Last night, starting things off 0-1 in district play. But the nice thing is they take 4 out of your district, so a few more wins should be able to get you into that top 4. And, you know, Coach, I've talked to a number of coaches here in the last week or so who have talked about you know, doing your job, or maybe in this case, knowing what your job is and then executing that part of the game. When it comes to, you know, emphasizing the do your job, know your job, things like that, do you have to simplify things in practice, or what do you need to do to kind of make sure that everybody understands this is my role on the field and I've got to, you know, execute that to a T?
Yeah, I mean, if I knew that answer, I don't think we would have had the problem that we did last night. We take quite a few reps, especially in the pass game. You know, that's the one thing that our scout team does a pretty good job of, is they can line up and we can throw it. We got a JV quarterback who can sling it a little bit, and so he does a pretty good job, and our JV type receivers do a pretty good job of giving us a decent look in 7-on-7. It's usually the run game for the JV guys, which we struggle at, just because for those young linemen to block our older linemen, that's a tall task. Mm-hmm. So I actually think defensively is when we get the best look on offense against our scout guys is 7-on-7. So, you know, they look fine in practice, and that's the thing is we talked to the coaching staff last night. It seems like when we get into the games, the fundamentals just go away. Mm-hmm. And instead of getting to our drops to that 10 to 12 yard mark when we're in the linebackers and in the defensive secondary, either sitting and hitting or staying on top, whatever your responsibility is, it just seems like the technique and it just all goes out the window.
So you get Alta Aurelia coming up next week here at home. They're looking, you know, pretty good here to start the year. Picked up a win over HMS last night. Just what kind of things do you need to see out of the guys here in practice? The energy, the efforts, and being able to be confident heading into next week.
Yeah, well, Alta throws it all over the place, so we got to make sure that we clean up our pass coverage, and we got to clean it up in a hurry. And you know, we're gonna do what we can to make sure that these guys understand what their roles are and what their job is. I think in practice we just need to see you got to be able to take coaching well, and you know, we got great kids and our coaching staff. We like all our guys. They're great, great young men, but we just got to make sure that, you know, you're learning. We can't keep making the same mistakes again. We have to continue to learn and continue to get better, offensively and defensively.
Well, that's the game plan, and we know one thing: you'll work on that. You'll get them ready to go, and looking forward to another great week here for Galen Catholic football against Alta Aurelia. Coach, we always appreciate your time. Best of luck this week, and we'll look forward to chatting with you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Daniel.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure. That's Jeremy Schindler. He's head coach, Galen Catholic football. We'll come back, and Akron Westfield head coach John Sievert joins us after this on KLEM.
Our well-child exams cover athletic physicals, but they are so much more. In addition to physical needs of a child, we also focus on their emotional and social health. Let's face it, being a kid can be hard. At Floyd Valley Clinics, our providers work with families as a team to keep pediatric patients healthy and safe. Learn more about Floyd Valley Clinics at floydvalley.org. Your community, your health, your life. Floyd Valley Healthcare.
The pursuit of true health. That's the goal of Dr. Jared Langle of True Health Chiropractic Lamars, serving the community with a holistic approach to chiropractic, guiding patients to mindful movement and proper nutrition. Accepting your insurance. True Health Chiropractic, located just off Business Highway 75 South Lamars, across from Four Brothers. Discover wellness. Discover True Health Chiropractic.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
We welcome you back to the KLEM Coach's Corner right here on KLEM Radio. Daniel Versteg with you. Pleased to be joined by the head coach of the Akron Westfield football team, Coach John Sievert, and now the winning head coach of the Westerners, a 45-18 victory over Sibley Ogeden. It's Coach Sievert's first win as the head coach of Akron Westfield football. And Coach, first of all, just,
the first win of the year, regardless of whether it's your first year coaching or your 30th year coaching, always has to feel good. How did it feel when that buzzer sounded and you were able to start district playoff 1-0?
Yeah, it felt really good. I'm very proud and happy for the guys and how they played tonight. And, it feels really good to get a district win under our belt. And, moving forward, hopefully we keep that going. But, the guys played really well tonight. I'm very happy they executed. We really learned from that first week loss. And kind of what we need to execute and everything, and I think the guys went out there and did it this week.
Yeah, tell me, learning big deal, and you definitely learned after just 6 points against Ridgeview, turning it into 45 here against Sibley Ocheyedan. What were some of the things that you had to learn or improve on to make such a big leap on the offensive end?
You know, I think a lot of it is play calling, too. I mean, I thought the guys played really well last week, even though we only put up 6 points. But, focusing on doing your job, I thought the guys did a very good job tonight about doing that. I thought that communication up front was really well done. We were picking up our blocks. Quarterback was reading the defense really well on some certain RPOs. And, I think that helped getting us back to where we need to be as far as an offensive unit. But our defense, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, they're killers out there. They did a great job flying around, made some plays tonight. It was really awesome to see our defense. And they're kind of the core of our whole team. They keep the score low and give the offense an opportunity to win the game for us.
Yeah, well, I definitely want to address that because obviously pitching a second half shutout is a big deal. But you mentioned to me and you mentioned it right there, the work up front. As a wrestler, of course, I'm sure you know how important the battle in the trenches is, and of course, the lowest man wins, things like that. Just what kind of things stood out to you about your O-line play tonight that really impressed you?
Honestly, I think we got a lot more reps at it this week and got some different looks because we knew Sibley was going to throw us a little bit different look than what Ridgeview did last week. And I think it came down to just communicating on the O-line, who's got who and where we're going with things. I don't think we really necessarily ran the ball too well, but our pass pro was, I thought, pretty good for the most part. We were swinging the ball around pretty good. But, I think it's just a matter of reps. Keep getting reps at practice. Keep watching film and seeing what we need to improve on. Just if we can improve every week just a little bit, little bit, little bit, and then, hopefully by week 3, 4, or 5, we kind of got it down to where we're only making a couple mistakes a game instead of like we did last week. It was about 20, it seemed like. But just getting a lot of reps and seeing some different looks. I thought, tonight, I thought Sibley had a pretty solid defense, and I think our quarterback made the right reads and something we didn't do against Ridgeview. And, it turned out to be kind of a good thing for us. So I'm very proud of the guys, very happy for them, and it's a good win for them. It's exciting, yeah.
Absolutely, very exciting. You know, with your offense and all the reads you ask your quarterback to make, it's kind of important to have some stability back there and some consistency. And you were finally able to, get that. Whether that was the game plan at the start or just kind of how things worked out, just what kind of things showed you that you were able to stick with one quarterback to make your reads all night and to run your offense well.
Yeah, both of the quarterbacks from last week, I think it was just a lack of confidence in the play call, throwing it deep over the middle or just even some out routes, or maybe it's just it's a simple handoff, read the box. But, that goes down to film and listening to coaches and, understanding what the defense is throwing at you. And, and I thought Leighton did a great job of doing that tonight. You know, we don't have a ton of RPOs, but, you know, ultimately I thought he made the best reads when it came to pass plays. And you know, he did a great job on his feet, too, running the ball. So, yeah, very proud of the offense. You know, defense, obviously, did their job tonight.
Yeah, I want to talk about that defense a little bit. We're chatting with John Sievert, the head coach of Akron Westfield football, 45-18 winners over Sibley Ocheyedan here in week two. Just, you know, after being kind of in a ball game there at half, it was 32-18, and then you come out in the second half, you score 13 unanswered, and you pitch a second half shutout. What kind of adjustments were made defensively to, you know, have that go your way as you were trying to finish off the ball game?
Yeah, you know, it didn't help that they took the opening kickoff to the to the end zone. I mean, I don't know if we weren't ready or guys missed, you know, misread the kick or anything. But yeah, first 6 seconds of the game, they're up 6-0. But I thought we responded really well to that adversity, and the guys came back and battled really hard. We threw some points up on the board, and you know, the adjustments, I think they were already there. They just needed to trust them.
Yep.
and stick to the game plan, because ultimately we, you know, did really, really good job on defense. I thought the backers played well. I thought the D line played phenomenal. I thought the DBs did a really great job of reading the quarterback. They had a pretty decent quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty mobile, and had a dang good arm.
Right.
Made a couple good plays, and on one particular that we had a one-on-one matchup, and you know, they called the right play at the right time, and I think it was about a 60 or 70 yard touchdown pass. And, you know, good. That was a great play call, and exactly what we didn't want, but that happened, and you got to play through it. So, but I thought our defense did a phenomenal job, Nick. Nick Jacobs is our head D coordinator, and he whips those boys into shape, and they're ready to go every week. So,
yeah, you know, you obviously, I know a lot of coaches harp on this, obviously, of football being a team sport, but we've highlighted a couple of guys, some individual units, maybe. Who were the guys that, you know, really caught your eye, whether it was, hey, I wasn't really expecting that kind of performance out of you, or just, you know, he kind of, you know, did what was asked of him. Who are some of those guys tonight that just, you know, really caught your eye, I guess?
I think Trayden Goodman on the D-line did a phenomenal job of pressuring the quarterback when it came to pass plays. I thought Ian Blau did a great job. Wayne Helmerich did a great job. Both linebackers, they were flying around making plays, did a good job reading the offensive line and making sure they did two big runs and make plays in the backfield. I thought both of our ends, all three of them, Tyler Wetrowski, Ashton McCauley, and Jackson Monarch, did a really good job of setting the edge to really set up our defense. I'm very proud of the whole defense as a unit. Tyler read a screen very well and ended up getting a pick six. I thought that was ultimately the momentum change going into the game, is when Tyler got that. We kind of, we really fed off of that, and the defense just bought in and played a great game after that. So.
Yeah. Well, the turnovers, obviously, momentum is shifting, and sounds like that was the case for you again against Sibley Ocheyedan. And now you're 1-0 in the district, and now you get to step out of district. A good matchup with Hinton coming up next week. Coach, I know you could win a ball game 250-3, and there would still be things to nitpick. So this is your time. What kind of things do you have to go back to the drawing board with maybe next week as you prepare for a Hinton team that's going to be hungry for you?
I think you got to analyze everything. We ran some really good stuff on defense. We ran some really good stuff on offense, but ultimately, you know, football, it's hard to be perfect, and I'm not expecting the guys to be perfect, but if they ultimately do their job as individuals, it sets us up to be successful. So that was kind of our motto this week was do your job, focus on yourself, and the job will get done. And I think they kind of took it to heart, and it showed tonight, I think. So, it'll be a tough one. I think they're a solid team. We'll watch some film this weekend and prepare as best we can. So.
Well, awesome. Yeah, we know you'll have them ready to go. Congrats on the win here tonight. Your first win as the head coach of the Westerners. It was a great one, 45-18 over Sibley Ocheyedan. Thanks for joining us, Coach. Congrats on the win, and best of luck to you guys as you prepare for Hinton this week.
Sounds good. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. That's John Sievert, head coach of Akron Westfield football. More on the Coach's Corner after this on KLEM.
Are you looking for local and dependable overhead door sales and service? Hi, my name is Adam, owner of Chapman Overhead Doors. We are excited to bring over 30 years of experience from the Spencer area to Lamar's and surrounding communities. Chapman Overhead Doors services all makes and models of commercial and residential garage doors. We sell only the highest quality Midland doors. Call Chapman Overhead Doors for a free quote today, 541-1179. That's 541-1179.
Put Nohava on the job and on your buildings. Nohava Construction doesn't just offer products to customers, they offer solutions. Their partnership with Duralast Roofing Incorporated allows them to deliver one of the most durable, maintenance-free, and high-performing roof systems in the industry. To top it off, Nohava Construction has been named an elite roofing specialist, which means your warranty is automatically guaranteed with any Nohava installation. Nohava Construction in Lamar's.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
Another 8 o'clock hour on this Saturday morning has flown by as we wrap up the Coach's Corner. This program has been brought to you by Nohava Construction, Chapman Overhead Door, Plymouth Awards and Engraving, Sitzman Construction, Ameriprise Financial, Get Branded 360, True Health Chiropractic, and Floyd Valley Healthcare. My thanks, as always, to the head coaches for joining us, Ken Vigdahl, Mars Community, Jeremy Schindler, Galen Catholic, and John Sievert from Akron Westfield. Great to get some other area coaches on every now and then as well. And my thanks to all three of those gentlemen for joining us on this edition of the Coach's Corner. Let's get you caught up on what's coming up this week on KLEM Sports. We got a busy week for you. We love busy weeks. Of course, nothing on Labor Day. But on Tuesday, we've got our first Galen Catholic volleyball broadcast of the year. The Jays welcome in George Little Rock. It's the first time George Little Rock will compete as a War Eagle Conference team in conference play, I should say. They have a few games under their belt already. But we're looking forward to that one, and you should as well. Tune in for that. Galen Catholic hosting George Little Rock. Jays trying to go 2-0. In conference play to start the year. And then on Thursday, Lamar's Community Volleyball has a chance to bounce back in MRAC action as they host Council Bluffs' Thomas Jefferson. That's Thursday night here on KLEM. And then our Friday night football game of the week is Lamar's Community heading up to Hesla Field in Hull for a matchup with the Nighthawks of Boyden Hall Rock Valley. Kickoff at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6:15. We'll have comments from Ken Vigdahl, Radio Iowa Scouting Report. You can also watch that game live on the KLEM Radio YouTube channel. We thank the folks up in Hull for allowing that for us and being able to bring you the coverage on our KLEM Radio YouTube channel. So that's what's coming up this week. Make sure you keep it logged on to KLEM1410.com. We've got sports news, scores, updates, all that kind of fun stuff, as only we can provide on our website at KLEM1410.com. Follow us on Twitter as well, at KLEM Sports, so you can stay in the know with Plymouth County Athletics. That does it for another edition of the Coach's Corner. Thanks to our coaches for tuning in or for joining us. Thanks to all of you for tuning in. And have a great Labor Day weekend. We'll talk to you again with more KLEM Sports next week. Until then, so long. Have a great weekend.